Hi, I'm Alisa Meredith from alisameredith.com, and you are listening to the Social Media Talks podcast with Ellen Hennessy from compassmedia.ie.
Welcome to Social Media Talks podcasts, brought to you by compassmedia.ie.
Hello and thank you for joining me. This is the Social Media Talks podcast brought to you by compassmedia.ie, episode number 98. I'm your host, Alan Hennessy, and this is the podcast to help business owners who want to learn more about social media marketing. And if you'd like to find out more about our podcast, you can visit our website at compassmedia.ie/social media talks. You can also join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/social media talks. And I'm looking forward to today's podcast. Today I'm going to be joined by Alisa Meredith. And Alisa has over 20 years of experience in digital marketing. She started out on website and e-commerce development and content marketing before it was called content marketing. And now she also looks after product marketing and has been in that blend of skills that she finds most effective and fulfilling. Her marketing agency helps businesses in marketing strategies, campaign planning, as well as product launches and go-to-market strategies. For 4 years, Alisa worked with Tailwind, and she naturally fell into the sweet spot between marketing and products, knowing the customers, what they know like nobody else, and knowing the trends, and taking on both inbound and outbound marketing activities. And she is also one of the world's leading experts in Pinterest, and the go-to person for this as well. And we'll be talking to Alisa all about Pinterest today. So without further ado, I think we will transition straight over to the interview with Alisa. Hi, Alisa. How are you? And thanks for joining us today on the Social Media Talks podcast. It's a pleasure to have your company. I've been trying to get you on for a good while, and it's just our paths have been passing in the in the midst of time. So it's we eventually have you here, and we're going to be talking all today about Pinterest. So how are you? Great to see you.
It's great to see you as well. Yeah, I'm really happy to be here. And I know you'll be on my show soon. So we finally made it happen. So glad.
Exactly. And it's all good. And of course, as I said today, we're going to be talking all about Pinterest. And for a lot of people who've never dipped their toe in the water on Pinterest. And then we also have the people that are on Pinterest and might need to learn a few little tips and tricks, which I know you have so many of. So I'm really looking forward to this as well. And yeah, so I suppose for anyone who doesn't know you, which I find hard to believe, you might give us a little bit of a background on yourself and tell us what you were up to at the moment.
Sure. So I started in marketing over 20 years ago doing content marketing before we ever called it that, and ran marketing agencies of my own and got into Pinterest when Pinterest first came out because I thought, well, what is this thing? Could it be used to promote a business? If so, could it be used to generate leads, or is it just about traffic? So from then on, I've just been very curious about Pinterest and really digging into the ins and outs and all, keeping up with all the changes. I spent 4 years at Tailwind, which is a Pinterest and Instagram creation and scheduling tool. So it allowed me to get even deeper into that with more of a focus on product marketing, content marketing. But most of the time when people want to talk to me, they want to talk about Pinterest, which is great. I love talking about Pinterest.
Brilliant. And of course, I think it is an untapped resource that a lot of people think, you know, when they think social media, they think the usuals, the Facebooks and the Twitters and the LinkedIns and so on and so forth. But I think Pinterest, unless you're in, and maybe this is a misconception, you can tell me whether it is or it isn't, but, you know, Pinterest is more for creative people and that type of thing. But I've been on it many a time, and I've found a huge amount of information on it that has related to things that I do.
Oh, sure. And I think, I mean, yes, if you're in home decor or food or fashion, it's a more natural fit. But when I look at my audience insights inside of Pinterest, I can tell that my audience in particular is extremely interested in finance topics. So you can break it down from there. They're interested in insurance. They're interested in investments. And all that kind of ties in with the business aspect of it, too. So there is a place there for business content. It's just not as obvious as the rest.
Mm. And I think, you know, and as I said at the start of the show, like, you are the expert in Pinterest. And I have to admit, because, like, there's so many, you know, specialized areas, and people are, you know, are very good at what they do, like the, you know, the YouTubers and so on and so forth. But and anytime someone mentions to me Pinterest, I always think of yourself. And you know, and it's because it's you're the only person that I really like. I know there's others out there that do it, but
oh, sure, there are.
I think, you know so much about it, and I've always, any live shows or anything that I've seen you on, you've always been talking about it and really know all about it. So let's talk about, if say for instance someone is thinking about dipping their toe into Pinterest, where should they start, or what should they be thinking about?
It's all about your content, right? So I think people, when they think about Pinterest marketing, they put it in its own bucket, right? But you cannot have a great Pinterest account if you don't have any content. Hmm. And that could be content on your website, or nowadays, and we'll talk about this later, it's all about the idea pins. So it's a little more complicated now, but it's always been, and probably always will be, about the content that you create. So if you don't have that strong foundation, you're not ready for Pinterest yet. If you do, you can make something of Pinterest, most likely.
Hmm. Yeah, and I know when it came out first, I thought this was the greatest thing ever. And I still do. I find, you know, especially if I'm researching anything, I'll always go to Pinterest and I'll always pull up pins that are, you know, that are relevant to what I'm doing, or mm-hmm. to the subject that I'm talking about, or the subject that I'm writing about, or whatever it may be. And I find out that, and of course, then you go off on, you go off down that narrow road of going, oh, well, I just look at this, and then and all of a sudden it's 4 hours later and you're still going, okay.
Yes. But, and you're not even on the same topic anymore.
No. And I think that's, you know, in some ways that it can be good, or in some ways it can be bad, but it can be good because it opens up a lot more avenues and you sort of go, okay, well, that's related to that. And so, as you say, writing your content, and with regards to writing content, would you be, when you're talking about Pinterest, would you be sort of talking about, say, infographics, or would be the types of, say, actual posts and content that way, or would it be blog posts or whatever it may be?
Infographics used to kind of be all the rage on Pinterest. Mm. The thing with them was, if you didn't do it carefully, you would get a lot of saves. So a lot of distribution, a lot of people would be saving and a lot of people would see it. Very little traffic from it most of the time, because the information was all there.
Yeah.
You didn't need to go to the website.
Of course. Mm. Yeah.
So that was always kind of the trick with those. Now, though, it's really difficult to get static pins to get distribution at all. At least the newer ones, it's taking a long time if they ever catch on. And now it's all about the idea pins.
Mm. Okay, so idea pins, explain that to us, because I'm going, okay.
Yeah, so when they first came out, this was at one of Pinterest's big events, and they said, you know, in the past, we've always connected pinners with ideas, right? And now we want to connect pinners with content creators, basically. So they announced there's a shift. And kind of with this in mind, we have what they called at the time story pins. But our story pins last more than 24 hours, and your story pins deserve more than a double tap. Mm. So who are they calling out there? It's so obvious, right? It's like Instagram.
Yeah, of course they are. Of course they are.
Yeah. Yeah. So they eventually did change the name to idea pins, which I think makes sense. But the idea of them is that everything a person would need to do this thing, learn about this thing, is contained right in the pin itself. It does not link out to your website.
Okay.
Yeah. And that is what is getting the distribution these days.
So it's like sort of, it's like a mini course, for want of a better word. Maybe that's the wrong phraseology, but it's sort of that everything is within that one pin. So it's like a little folder, in a sense. Would I be right in saying that?
It is. You could take a blog post and make it into an idea pin. I've taken a couple things like my blog post on Is It Time to Give Up on Pinterest? And kind of going through each of those things. You got to put captions on everything. It's kind of a little bit of a production. And then you can add a supplies list and you can add tags, which are really important to get them out there. The idea is Pinterest wants to keep people on the platform, and their thing is like, people don't want to click off. Well, I don't know if I totally agree with that, but they're responding in large part to the large growth in Gen Z pinners. And Gen Z, you know, that's a TikTok generation where, yeah, they are engaging on the platform. They're doing a stitch where they do their own kind of response to a TikTok.
I've seen it, all right, yeah.
Yeah. So you can do the same thing on Pinterest with idea pins. If you have tried this thing or you want to make a response to it, you'll end up creating your own idea pin, but it shows up as, you know, kind of a reaction to the original. So they're really trying to make it its own self-contained thing, which has been a real challenge for people who've been on the platform for a while.
Yeah, you could see that. But, there's sort of, I suppose, it's like everything. There's pros and cons with everything within these type of ideas, pins. And I think that's really, it's good. It's good to have that. And I think, we look at that and I'm sort of saying to myself, how can I use that into my business? How could I incorporate that into? And I think there's a lot of, great content that you can put together and build a strategy around that. And just as you say, particularly on Pinterest, because, and I think this is a thing that a lot of people miss out on is there's a huge, huge audience on Pinterest that use it every day. Like I know, for instance, even when I put up, I might put up a soundbite of one of the podcasts, and it gets a massive reaction.
Oh, shit, that's great.
And when I see that, and you sort of say to yourself, well, hold on, if that works, why am I not spending a little bit more time on this? And I think businesses, and especially entrepreneurs and whoever it is, if you're in business or whatever industry you're in, there is an opportunity to create this type of content that will further enhance your marketing strategies.
Yeah, it's true. And I think as it's becoming a little bit more social and it's becoming more about the people, because Pinterest was never about the content creators ever.
Yeah.
And that was kind of one of the rules of Pinterest marketing was don't make it at all about you. And now it's changing. The society changes, what people want changes. So it is a little bit more about you, and you can start to use that for some personal branding and to kind of draw people in that way as well.
Yeah, and I think that is a big thing that I think it's the whole shift in social media now that's gone from, sell to now, okay, no, we want to know the people behind the brand, but we also want to know more about what they do and how they can service me or whatever it may be that they're coming to them for. But I think viewers and followers and people like that, they're more engaged now than they have ever been.
Yeah, it seems like. Yeah. When I post an idea pin, I do tend to get comments on it, which is fun. I didn't think I'd like that on Pinterest, but I do kind of like that. But you mentioned, social, not about selling. Pinterest really wants to be an e-commerce platform. So if you are a product seller, highly recommend you get yourself onto Pinterest. And I've wanted to learn more about this for a long time. So recently I started my own Shopify store with the idea that I'm going to figure all this social commerce out and I'm going to start with Pinterest. It was so, so easy to set it up. It sets up a catalog for you. Now I have a shop tab. I have verified merchant status, which means I get like some social proof, but also my pins get into areas of the site that are more likely to convert to sales. And the impressions I'm getting on my product pins are higher than like other static pins. So it's obvious that they're really kind of pushing this right now. So if you do have a product, and you can even do that with a digital, can do that with a digital product as well. You just have to make sure that no one has to actually contact you. It's really obvious how they get the thing. But because that's getting a boost right now, I would I would definitely do that. Tag, if you have a product to sell, tag your static pins. Anytime you can kind of bring in that product marketing with your Pinterest, seems to be working really well right now. Who knows, that may change later, but because they have that interest in becoming e-commerce platform, that's really working well.
Yeah, and I agree. I totally agree. Like, you know, like I've often, like I know my daughter, she would spend a lot of time on Pinterest. And yet again, she's sort of, she's 16, and like that, she's very much into her fashion and stuff like that. And so she's on Pinterest looking at this, and then she's looking and saying, oh, I can get that on such and such or whatever the website, and they're clicking into them. And so yep. it's a real gateway. And if you can, you know, sell on Pinterest, even better again, you know?
Oh yeah. And the thing with idea pins, you know, many bloggers are not big fans of them because what they loved Pinterest for was that traffic to the website. So idea pins, yeah, they take longer and there's no link. But what Pinterest has done is allowed us to monetize those because we can tag our own products. We can tag another business. We can also tag with affiliate links. So there are ways to monetize that.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, down the affiliate link and down, as you say, tagging them in. And I think that is, you know, it's a huge opportunity.
Absolutely. It's just changing. You know, it's not the same as it used to be. But they're, like, just some information about pinners and their behavior. Like, people who use Pinterest are 40% more likely to say that they love shopping. Right. And some of them say that they go on Pinterest, they weren't even shopping, and they find stuff they want. And 89% of weekly pinners, and there are 444 million monthly active users right now.
Wow.
Half of those are also weekly users. So of those, 89% are saying that they use Pinterest as their inspiration in their path to purchase. So we talked a little bit about this earlier, but the great thing about Pinterest from a marketer standpoint is that 97% of searches are not branded, which means that, like you going on to learn a thing, you're open to other ideas. You're open to other solutions, things that are related, but not directly. You're not on there looking for a name brand of something. You're looking for a solution, which gives newer people who haven't had a lot of time to build up their branding or money to spend on a brand awareness to really get in front of their customers.
Yeah, and I've seen that. I'm actually in a group, a creative group, and like that, they would be huge because I had done a talk for them, and we were talking about Twitter, and we were talking about Instagram, we were talking about, you know, LinkedIn and so on. And a lot of them were coming back and were saying that they were getting a lot more interaction on Pinterest and on Instagram, because obviously they're more visual, but at the same token, right, like as you say, they weren't a big brand, but what they were is they were the actual products that people were looking for and people that were interested in, you know. And so I think that in itself, for someone that's in that creative mode, as a creative industry, It's a golden opportunity, because what they can do is they're not competing with the types of the big brands. They're out there, they're there, and people are looking, as you say, for a particular piece or, you know, whatever it may be. So I think it's really interesting.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, so we sort of established and we understand the idea behind ideas. That's very... So if people are creating their content or creating a profile on Pinterest, what would be the key areas that you would say would be the most important?
So again, it goes back to your content. Mm. So when you're thinking about, okay, you set up your profile, you use your keywords everywhere, right? Just like anywhere else, you want to use your keywords. But I think people wonder, like, okay, what am I going to pin? Mm. Well, what you're going to pin is your own content. Right. So look at your website, look at the different categories of content that you have, build your boards around those and get as specific as you can. So, for example, I have my Shopify store is for painting. So I paint and then I put my paintings on products like T-shirts and mugs and canvas and all that. So I would look at what categories of products do I have? You do the same thing on a blog, right? So I have shirts, I have gifts, I have mugs, and there might be some overlap there, which is fine. You could put it in more than one board, but you want to think about how are people going to search for these. You might even do like gifts for women or gifts for Father's Day. You know, just get real specific to help Pinterest know what is in there and help that get in front of the right people. So it's really going to be built around your content and what you're creating and want to promote.
Yeah. And of course, I suppose in the other side of that is making sure that you're tagging all of this content, because as you say, you're going to show up and search for this on Pinterest.
Yeah. So with a static pin, your important things are your pin title and your pin description and the board that you put it into. They also do scrape your website. So they're looking at like the page title and the body copy as well. Then they want to see even some consistency between design. So if your pin is a cartoon and they go to the website and it's a photograph of flowers, that's a disconnect.
Yeah.
And like everything that they do is, a lot of what they do is in the interest of the user. So they want to make the best user experience. So if on Pinterest, you're using keywords like tennis shoe, and then it leads to a page that's actually about teddy bears. That is not going to rank. Like, you can't trick them. They know.
Yeah. And plus, the other side of that is even if it did slip through the cracks, you know, it's doing you a disservice if you are one of those.
Totally.
If you're just one of those people and say, oh, well, I'll use that picture, but I'm talking about, you know, I don't know, air conditioning units. And you're going like, why are you putting a picture of a teddy bear for an air conditioner? You know, and people then automatically will go, well, like, obviously, if they're following through and they're going to follow onto the website or whatever it may be that you're trying to push them to, when they get there, they're going, well, this is no use, and they're gone. So it's really a waste of time and their time. So I think it's been more succinct, and also, I suppose, in a sense, with consistency. Like you talked about the branding and stuff and your colours and stuff like that, and I totally agree with that. I'm a huge advocate for, you know, branding consistency right across all of your social platforms, all across your website, wherever you put yourself out there. I think it should be that way.
Well, you know, for a while I did not feel that way, because to me, and especially on Pinterest, what I wanted from Pinterest was traffic. So if my bright purple and green pin brought in 10 times more traffic than the one with my branding on it, I'm fine with that. But now when static pins, like just the regular image pins, aren't doing as well, at least until they've been around a while, now I've come back to, it should match my brand.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that you can't have a bit of fun with, you know, with your content.
Yeah.
and have that, you know, like everyone likes a break, but at the same token, I get it, like that if you see something that's working on that, well, that could be in a sense, okay, we're talking about keeping your brand on point, but you could have, like, I, for instance, my branding would be all probably the blues and the greens and the oranges and stuff like that, but yet for the social media talks, the podcast, it's more of the blue and a grayish color. So it sort of stands out. So you can still have a certain amount of flexibility when you're creating that type of branding, if it's for a particular area of your business. I think that's, you know, that's always it's a good starting point, you know, but I think that's sort of where I would be coming from that on it.
Yeah, you know, in the example we were talking about before with tennis shoes and teddy bears, like, nobody who's listening to this show is going to do that, right? That's just bad marketing. But the point being, the more consistency there is, the more Pinterest likes it, because it is a better experience for the pinner, and therefore you get more distribution.
Yeah. And of course, Pinterest then are looking at it a lot more favorably, because it's it's, you know, it's in what they're trying to put across and what they're trying to deliver, and with the with the platform. So of course they're going to, you know. So, and I think this is a, there's a big misconception that, you know, the types of these social platforms, they don't talk to you, or they don't watch, or they don't see. Of course they do. I think they, you know what I mean. They really are, and you know, and like even like, and I know it's totally off topic, but even like the types of, say, like we would talk about StreamYard, even where like the guys who are own the company, they're doing these live shows, they're talking to their customers, and I think Pinterest do that a lot, because you will often see, you know, likes and so on and whatever, and people sharing comments, and you go, okay, right, well, why did they share that? Obviously, they're, you know, they're part of what's going on.
Yeah. And it's funny too, when you're paying attention, you can see that Pinterest is trying little things out. So for example, a friend of mine has like a home decor influencer blog business. She, even though a lot of the groups she was in were saying, and some of the Pinterest experts were saying, don't do idea pins, boycott them because they don't have links, we hate them. She said, I listened to you and I listened to Megan Williamson and I made an idea pin, and she got, what did she say? She got 7,000 new followers off of one pin.
Wow.
Yeah. And her followers went up just crazy fast to the point where she hit 10,000. I think it was 10, it was either 10,000 or 20,000. And then it just stopped. Like it cut off, like someone turned off a faucet. And it's not like, it's not because her content all of a sudden wasn't good. It's like you said, Pinterest is watching.
Yeah.
And they're trying things. Like with my account, I've been putting out videos of my process. So I actually teach you how to do these paintings, all the supplies that you need. And you know, I was getting like 2,000-3,000 impressions on them. Last Friday, I posted one, and within hours, it had 11,000 impressions.
Wow.
I was like, that's not because this one is that much better than the others, right? And the one before it all of a sudden got 12,000 more impressions. And it's like, I've always felt this way, that Pinterest is, yes, it's SEO, it's a little bit of psychology, but there's also that magic in there. And the magic is Pinterest trying things and seeing what happens.
Yeah. Definitely.
Which is kind of fun.
Yeah. Well, it's great because, and as well as that, it also keeps you on your toes as well, because you're
sitting, absolutely.
You know, and I think that's a good thing, if anything. You know, if we're just even just sitting here thinking about that, is it, yeah, well, if they're watching, well, yeah, let's put the effort.
Yeah, let's
in,
see what they
know?
Do.
Yeah, exactly. You know.
And I think another thing that it has been tricky for some people in adopting Pinterest and getting it to work is that they want to see results immediately. If you want to see results immediately on Pinterest, you do an idea pin or you do a Pinterest ad, right? Otherwise, it takes a while. And part of that is that it's a slow shopping experience. So when people shop on Pinterest, they take a lot longer than if they're shopping on Google or even Instagram or Facebook, where there's a lot of impulse buy. Because people are planning on Pinterest, it takes longer. Because they are more apt to discover you for the first time on Pinterest, it takes longer. But that's okay, because, and here's a little stat that I found interesting. When people take a week or more to make a purchase, they spend 50% more.
Yeah.
So like if you can stick it out, and the thing with Pinterest too is like it takes a little while for them to get the context on your pin and to have that kind of reassurance that, okay, they know how to categorize it. They know who to show it to. It takes time. So if, you know, if you want Pinterest to work, you need to do more than a test you would do on TikTok or Instagram, because it's just not the same at all.
Yeah. And I think that's a lot of people do that. They think, you know, oh, well, if I start on this new platform and I start posting, I'm going to get a huge amount of followers and in days. Well, you know, and listening to what you're saying there, I'm thinking of a shopping mall. You know, you will go into the shopping mall, you'll walk around the shops and you'll have a look around and you'll go from one to the other and then you'll come back and you'll say, I like that. I like that, the style. And that's similar to what we're talking about here, because people have to get to know you. And it's, you know, okay, it's the cliche, it's know, like, and trust, but it is true. And people do that. And they will keep coming back for more. And that's the thing that a lot of people forget, that, you know, okay, so they might have liked one pin that you've done, but if you have, if they've looked through them and they're saying, okay, right, they will come back and they'll keep checking and they'll follow you. And then all of a sudden you're starting to get a lot more traction from that, you know?
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, like, people don't generally say, oh, I wonder what Alan's been up to on Pinterest. I'm going to go check his profile, or I'm going to see if there are any new boards. People don't typically do that. But what's happening is that if they follow you, your content is more likely to show up in their home feed.
Yeah, exactly.
But you don't have to have followers to get your content out there, because it's also a search engine, a search and discovery engine. So if your Pinterest SEO is good, people are going to start to discover you that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's great. And, you know, and that in itself is a great opportunity, because, as you say, you know, if they may not follow you, but if you're putting that content out that's ticking their boxes, it's going to be put in front of them. And I think that's a golden opportunity.
That's right.
Excellent, excellent. I could sit here and talk about this all day. I could really, I've learned so much even in this short space of time that I'm now going to go off and sort of start looking at. So you're probably going to see a lot of pins up for me now as well.
Oh, good.
A lot of idea pins. You know, it's great. And I know you have a Pinterest ads course coming up, and I might like to touch on that as well. With regards to the advertising type of thing, part of Pinterest, I think that's another opportunity for people to see and to use.
Yeah, it is. And like I said, like, if you want to test out how Pinterest is going to work for you and you want quick results, you're really going to have to advertise.
Mm.
So that may be a shortcut for you to figure out, like, is this the platform for me? So yeah, I have a mini course that will walk you through, like, all the targeting options and the little technical things you need to do, what makes a great pin. And then there are a couple of demos to show you, like, step by step, here's how to set up an ad, here's why you would choose each option. And you can get that from my site, elisameredith.com. And I also do consulting for Pinterest, organic and paid, as well as content marketing and product marketing.
And like that, we will put all of the your contact details and your course details, of course, into the show notes for this show as well. Has been an absolute pleasure to talk with you.
Likewise.
Today. I really enjoyed that. And hopefully people have got some valuable tips and tricks and also insights into the world of Pinterest. Now, before I go, and I say this to every guest, and every guest has answered this question. It's one simple question, and it's not related to the topic that we're talking about. And the question I ask you is, if you had the chance to invite someone to dinner, whether it be past or present, who would it be and why?
I'm going to go with the first one that comes to mind, and that's my dad.
Brilliant.
He passed away 9 years ago, and I miss him a lot.
Well, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. yeah, I know. And I'm my father's only passed away recently, and I know exactly where you're going. No, look, at the end of the day. But it's I always ask that question. I always find it's a very interesting answer to it. You know, there's so many different, and a lot of the guests have talked about family and,
really?
You know, mothers, fathers, grandparents, and so on and stuff like that. So it's always lovely to find that out. Elisa,
I always feel like I should answer that with something more business-like or historically important, but that's what's important to me.
I was just going to say, it's what's important to you is what matters. Yeah. And that's the personal choice. And that's one of the reasons as well why I would always ask that question, because it also gives an insight into the person as well, you know?
Yeah.
Elisa, how can people get in contact with you if they want to reach out and chat with you in more detail?
Yeah. So my website is elisameredith.com. It's ALISAMEREDITH, or Elisa M. Meredith on Twitter.
Very good. Very good. As I said, it's an absolute pleasure chatting with you today, and we wish you continued success. And thanks so much for joining us today on the podcast.
Thank you, Alan.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on the Social Media Talks podcast, and hopefully you learned some great information and also insights from our guest today. And if you'd like to listen to any of our previous podcasts, you can log on to our website at compassmedia.ie/podcasts.
and all of our podcasts are available on all the usual podcast providers, including Stitcher Radio, Google Play, Mixcloud, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. And we would be delighted if you would leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, as we are always thrilled to receive your feedback on any of the programs. You can also subscribe to the podcast there so you never miss an episode as well. And if you'd like the show notes for this episode or for any of the previous episodes, please log on to our website at compassmedia.ie/show notes. And if you'd like to be a guest on the podcast, please do get in contact with us. All you have to do is email us at smtalks@compassmedia.ie. And if you'd like to find out more about the services that Compass Media provide, from social media marketing and training to podcast services, please visit our website for more details. You can also reach out and connect with me across all of the social networks, including Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram. And I will personally answer every one of your requests. That's about all for today. I've been Alan Hennessy from Compass Media for the Social Media Talks podcast. And we look forward to talking to you next week. And as I always say, be social. So until next week at the same time, bye-bye.
Social Media Talks podcast is a production from compassmedia.ie.